This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
On August 25th...
I'm the most brutal, vicious, ruthless champion that ever been.
The most anticipated original series is here. You may know Tyson.
You're the heavyweight champion of the world, young, rich, and black.
But do you know Mike?
The minute you get too big, they gotta cut you down.
Starring Trevante Rhodes.
I am Mike.
And Harvey Keitel.
They'll love you as much as they fear you.
Now I'm really gonna have some fun.
Mike, series premiere August 25th, only on Hulu.
This week on RVER, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
Oh, that new doctor is drop dead gorgeous.
Please, he's just another Ivy League educated surgeon with good hair.
No, he's different.
Nurses, we got a classy motorhome with a detached driver's side mirror. Meet me in the OR.
Stat.
Right away, doctor.
No, she's on break. I'll handle this one.
Oh, you conniving little...
When your RV really needs saving, Progressive has you covered. See if you could save with a leader in RV insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Covered subject to policy terms.
How's it going, everyone? My name's Omer. Welcome back to part number two of our Millwall post-millennial debate of our all-time 11. So obviously from 2000 onwards, we've been going through picking our starting 11. This is the second part covering the midfield and forward line. If you've not seen part number one, check it out. I'm not giving you any spoilers. You need to see who we picked going goal, who we picked going defence. Good little debate. And obviously part number two, we have the midfield and forward line, which is more contentious because obviously more people to pick from and more players that stand out in our recent history. If you've got your own team, like I mentioned in the first show, be sure to send it in to us on Twitter and obviously comment it in the comment section below and be sure to like and subscribe. Thanks, guys, and enjoy the show.
Okay, we're into midfield. Pick a position, start it off with us, Chris. Where are we going?
We stick with the same theme then. So we do the centres, the centre mid first then. So I went for Tim Cahill, probably, well, one of my easiest picks, I think. Absolute quality player. One of the best players I think I've ever seen in a Millwall shirt. So we all know how amazing he is. I won't go into anything more on Tim Cahill. So he was my first pick. Second pick, should I do second pick? Or
Yeah, go on.
So I did this deliberately because of I sort of mapped out my team and I was like, I need to get someone in. So this person I'm about to pick played a few games for us in centre mid, but was mainly deployed on the wing. But I've done it deliberately. He then went on to play a lot of his later career in centre mid. So I went with Stephen Reid. Now, I know most people will probably put him on the left and that's absolutely fine. But for the way I wanted to get my four midfielders in, I went for Tim Cahill and Stephen Reid.
Yeah,
Yeah. I can. What's that for both the senders?
Yeah.
Okay. To be fair, I think that's probably quite a good shout there. Joe?
I agree on Cahill. Yeah. I think you look at, you know, post-millennium, he's arguably probably been the best midfielder we've produced and has gone on to sort of bigger and better things. Goal scoring attributes as well, scored 52 goals in 217 games. What was interesting is that he goes and plays in the Premiership and he has a very, very similar goal to appearance ratio, doesn't he? Where he scores, you know, a very sort of similar amount. And race and amount of caps as well. So great player. So I go with him. Alongside him, I wouldn't go with Reedy, although it's a good choice there, Chris. I would go with Jimmy Abdu. I think Jimmy Abdu and Cahill together in midfield would be great. I mean, they'll both work very, very hard. Abdu will no doubt take on the defensive duties of the role, allowing Timmy to really sort of get forward and get in the box and get the goals for us. So I'll go for Cahill and Abdu.
Kai?
Joe's literally just taken my two picks. That they were both mine as well. Abdu and Cahill. Didn't get to see Cahill, but obviously it speaks for itself. You can see what he's done for the club. Really important goals. And, you know, I've watched highlights. He was superb for us. And obviously Jimmy Abdu, again, speaks for himself. Worked really hard. I think we signed him for, I think someone put on the group chat yesterday, 20,000, did someone say? Something around that.
Wow.
So one, it must be one of the best signings for, you know, value for money. Superb player, gave his all for the team. So, yeah, they're my two centre midfielders.
Right, okay. Omar.
Sir Jimmy Abdu and Mr. Tim Cahill. Quite simple. I think we're there. I agree with all the boys said, to be honest, and I couldn't really think of anything else to describe it apart from how the two of them said it. Tim Cahill, goals, Jimmy Abdu, legs. I just think the two of them would work in midfield together. I could picture it and visualise it working. And not aside from that as well, I think they're just the two best midfielders in the last 22 years for Millwall.
Do you know the other one that I had down on my list?
Apart from those two,
Dennis Wise.
Marvin Elliott.
Really? I don't know why. I always associate him. I mean, I know he came in as a centre back, but I think he played right back, didn't he? I think just the way he left as well. I didn't quite like that. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I just felt that he sort of left. A bit too
I think
soon.
if you speak behind the scenes, he fell out of love with a lot of them around that era. But yeah, look, I'm not gonna. Yeah, there was a few things with, you know, with Cherno and people like that. So, yeah. So, I think realistically, I think your two choices pretty much are going to be centre park, aren't they? It's got to be Jimmy and Cahill.
Yeah.
So, left wing.
Unanimous, almost.
I'm more than happy to turn it to unanimous.
Like, you had to change Reedy to Abdu, Chris.
Yeah, and I think we probably know what's coming on the left-hand side anyway. So, yeah.
Omar, you start left back, left wing even.
I struggled with this one, to be honest with you, lads. I don't know why. I was trying to think like Mill team, left wingers. And I couldn't really get behind any of them, to be honest. There's obviously good shouts in there. I'm actually going to suggest someone else put some names forward because I had Schofield because I thought he was class for us. I had Peter Sweeney just because it was Peter Sweeney at left wing and everyone loved Peter Sweeney at left wing. Do you know what I mean? Like, and he was a proper character. But I'm going to open it to the floor, Mickey, to see what other people put forward. And then I'll agree with someone's shout, I think, because I personally think I'd probably put Danny Schofield forward if I was to go first.
I mean, looking at the history site, you've got Scott Barron, Barry Coogan, Christian Keener, Dave Martin, Jason Punchin, Stephen Reid, Chris Taylor, Andre Townsend, Martin Wolford.
Some good names there.
Can I stick high for left wing?
What's that?
No, sure.
Left wing and put, because I've got obviously got my right winger locked in, and I so
right wing hasn't been chosen yet.
No, no, but I know what I want to say. But I want to
right.
say.
I'm saying that's my vote. Left wing, Danny Schofield. I thought Schofield.
You go for Schofield.
I'm going with Schofield.
Yeah, I'll go with that as well then.
Well, you go for Schofield, Kai.
Yeah, I remember Schofield. I remember him, you know, little left footer, you know, little twists and turns. I always liked him. I always used to get off my seat when he used to get on the ball. That was probably, I remember Wald as well. But, you know, Wald put the ball in, I think, to that someone headed back across and Abdu finished it, didn't he, at Elm Road. Dave Martin, sorry. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Schofield just because I thought he was always quite an exciting player.
Can I jump the gun, Mickey?
Go on, mate. Do it.
I would say 100% Stevie Reid. I mean, that guy, you know, he played virtually all his games at left side of midfield. Okay, occasionally played on the right side when Ifill was injured and whatnot. But the amount of goals he scored there.
That's what drew me to Reedy is purely because of the goals.
Do you know what the caveat is? Stephen Reid, he left when I was about 6 or 7 years old. So like, I don't really remember Stephen Reid in the Millwall shirt. Yeah. So like, and I've seen all his goals, and I agree, but I can't appreciate him for what he was. You know, and he was also a couple years into 2000 when he left. So like, I can't really.
Well, just to let you know, I mean, I was a little bit older at the time, and I remember when he broke through, he was very different to anything we had before. He was almost like the turning point of this new age of players being quite athletic, being fast, powerful. He had everything in his locker. You know, he used to drive, tenacious, great tackles, great shots, and he was very new, unique. He was very young as well when he broke into the team and made a real kind of name for himself in our team at the time. And of course, he then went on to bigger and better things as well. So,
yeah, I remember about Blackburn. I remember seeing him. Yeah. I saw him play in the Premier League and obviously do his bit for Republic of Ireland as well and stuff. But I couldn't really. I knew the position he played. I saw all the goals he scored last game of the season against, what was it, Oldham, whatever the game was. We've all seen him.
I
can't appreciate him myself. That's all. But it probably should be Reedy because I know people will say it should be Reedy. So, but I think we might have a close decision here. And Mickey will probably decide it in the end by the looks of it.
Is Chris, you changing yours, Chris, or not?
I'll happily chat. Yeah, like I'll go for Reedy. I've never seen a player hit a ball as hard. Some of the goals he scored were super
frightening, wasn't it? Yeah,
it was just exciting. You know,
do you remember the free kicks, Chris? Do you remember the free kicks? The hairs the back of your neck, Omar and Kai, will go up where they put the ball down. The fans in the stadium will shout out Reedy, 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 and you just knew it was going to come. It's almost like Roberto Carlos. It's like Roberto Carlos. He used to sort of take about 10 steps backwards, run and hit this ball, and he used to smash it. You know, I mean, it didn't always go on target, did it, or score, but my God, when it did go on target, there's no keeper in this world that can save it, you know.
Reedy purely on goals. I mean, I think he scored something like, I'm just looking there, he scored something like 13, 14 goals over 2 seasons. It's gonna be Reedy, isn't it?
Who was Chris gonna have at left wing? I need to know because he was trying to fit people into the team. Who was your left wing, Chris?
I mean, I was obviously trying to, or maybe I was bending the rules a bit, but I put Mr. Eiffel at left wing.
I see.
As we said, we've not been in the rules. So if I was redoing it, it would absolutely be Sir Jimmy, Timmy in the middle, Reedy on the left.
Gotcha.
And now on the right, I have a decision to make.
Ooh. So can we lock in Reedy on this side then, Mickey?
Yes.
Would you go with that, yeah? Okay.
Reedy's left. Right wing. Chris, you go first.
Oh, really? it's Paul Ifill or Jed Wallace for me. And it is really difficult because Paul Ifill was one of those players that probably one of, if not the most exciting player I think I've ever seen in a Millwall shirt. I don't even think he knew what he was doing half the time, let alone... no one else could. He was just so exciting to watch. My dad used to say that the last time he saw a player like that was when Jimmy Carter was in his prime, and obviously before my time. But however, as much as I love Paul Ifill, and he's probably one of my personal favourite players, I'm going to leave him out and I'm going to put Jed Wallace in because I think I think he's a better player. Better player in terms of skill and talent. I think he's a better player.
Different eras, isn't there? That's the thing. It's different eras. Yeah. They're both good in their era.
I mean, I'll put both Joe, in. Like, obviously, I think there's a to break the rules. So,
yeah, no, no. And I think, Joe, there's a definite another poll there.
Yes.
Jed Wallace, Paul
Rachel. Great idea.
I think that'll be one to put out.
From a numbers perspective, does anyone know? But I'm going to check whilst we're talking. Like, who actually got more numbers? So I feel...
Well, Paul Ifill's got 4, 7, 9, 4. So 8... where are we? 8, 17, 24 goals across 4 seasons.
Jed's got 42 across 6 seasons.
Wow. And you know what? Without even checking, I would say, I'll put my house on it, that Jed Wallace has got more assists than Eiffel has as well. Because Eiffel as a right winger, and yeah, he's put a lot of crosses in, and I haven't really seen set many goals up. He's a score a few goals, didn't he? Chris and Mickey and
Omar.
I was there. Cambridge away.
Cambridge away, wasn't it? Yeah.
Great hat trick. Great hat trick.
But not his only hat trick.
Sorry?
Wasn't that his only hat trick?
I think it was, It was.
Yeah. So I'm going Jed.
Yeah, Jed.
Who's next?
I'm gonna throw another name in the arena there, apart from Paul Ifill, James Henry.
Great cross of the ball.
Yep.
Great cross of great set pieces, crossing the ball. Didn't have much more game for it, did he? I remember him sort of being quite effective, sometimes at free kicks.
I remember Alan Dunn throwing him in front of the police dog.
Yeah.
You always say that, you do, always, every time.
I know.
The German Shepherd,
It's so funny. It's so funny, though, you know what I mean? It's his face in that copper's face, because that copper didn't expect it. James Henry didn't expect it.
He tried to spoil it out as well, didn't he?
Yeah, but you just knew, when Dunny was walking up towards him, you just knew what, you could see it on Dunny's face, what he was going to do. and no one else knew what was going
on. Yeah, that's online somewhere, isn't it? If you search it. James Henry, police dog. It comes up.
Yeah.
Good player.
Kai, who you go? Who did you go with, Joe?
I haven't jumped the gun yet.
Oh,
wait patiently.
Your go.
Okay. I loved Paul Ifill back in the day. I think Ifill was a great player, very exciting. Again, you watch him, you know he's not going to get the ball and just give it back, is he? He's going to get the ball, take the left back on, and not often did his runs come off. Not often did his crosses make it to the intended striker he was aiming for in the box. But he was exciting to watch. He tried to make things happen. He used to get your goals, work very hard and very good going forward. But I agree with Chris. And I think I think that he edges it over Ifill. This person I'm thinking of is Jed Wallace. So Jed Wallace just gives you... a lot more than, I mean, if Ifill was an 8 out of 10 player, you've got to say Jed's a 10 out of 10 because he'll give you a lot more in assists, a lot more goals, probably worked a bit harder. I think Ifill struggled a little bit of fitness sometimes. Injuries went against him a little bit at times as well. So I just think overall, Jed Wallace is a better player and probably offered more for us, both defensively and offensively.
Kai?
I think Jed Wallace. I mean, obviously, I never got to see Ifill, but, you know, since I've been following Millwall, probably 2006-ish, 7-ish sort of season, Jed's got to be the standout for me. You know, so he might not score. He might not score an assist, you know, every game, but what is it? I think it's this season didn't score over 10 goals, but 14 assists. 2 seasons before that, he got over 10 goals.
Yeah, but listen, Jed's a good player. I'm not saying he ain't, right? And one sec, go, Mark, I'll come to you in a sec. But Jed's normally plays centre, doesn't he, to a degree, right? He normally plays that behind the striker position.
But he
is he going to be able to play?
Did he?
Huh?
He didn't before.
Only more recently, yeah.
But is he going to be able to play there when you've got the likes of... who we've chosen of Tim Cahill and Jimmy Abdi. So is Wallace going to be able to play well in that team with those two players, or would Paul Ifill suit that position better? Go on, Omar.
You're thinking too literally for this. It's just an all-time 11 for the last 22 years, personally. So who's the vote so far? What we got? Jed Wallace. Is that right? Yeah.
So technically, whatever you and Mickey say doesn't
correct.
Matter.
Does However, I probably would have gone Paul Ifill. I think Jed Wallace, do you know what's the irony here? If Jed Wallace played for us in 2000 to 2004, and then Paul Ifill played for us the last 4 years, we would all say Paul Ifill. I think this one's like recency bias has got more to it, in my opinion, because I agree. I think it is almost a toss of a coin, because I think when I think of a Mill winger, Paul Ifill was the definition of a Mill winger. Like you said, Joe, get the ball, take a man on. You don't really know what he's going to get at the end of it, but that's like, you know, Jed Wallace is more
excitement, isn't it? Yeah.
I suppose. But I think recency bias comes into this one the most out of any of the positions we're doing today, I think.
Should we put, rather than us, because I agree with you. I think Ifill is, you know, the Millwall player, the Millwall winger. Should we put this position to the vote?
No, I think it's going to be Jed Wallace.
I think we put it on a Millwall poll, but collectively between us five, I think we've kind of worked out who edges.
Well, it's got, if Omar's changed to Wallace, then it's Wallace. There's four of you voting Wallace.
No, we say Nifield.
Three gets two, it doesn't matter anyway. They've all voted for Jed Wallace, Mickey. So.
Oh, yeah. So it doesn't matter.
I agree with you, Mickey. We'll put it on the Millwall poll and see what happens. See what everyone else thinks, but. Yeah,
I think I probably would have gone Jed, you know, but I just think there's recency bias to it as well. I feel like a little bit of this one, because I think if we was in the moment of watching Paul Ifill week in, week out, I think we'd all be loving him off again. I don't know because he was one of those players where you occasionally hear at the back, for fuck's sake, Ifill. You know what I mean? Like, but we still loved him for what he was, I think, at the time. I don't know.
He played his eye out, didn't he? He was one of those players that you didn't know from one game to the other whether he was going to be absolute dog shit or fantastic. Do you know what I mean? But whatever he was, we still loved him. But there's a lot of people that don't.
That's what I was about to say. So that's what I was going to say, Mickey. Do you think that at the time, Ifill was as appreciated as much as he should have been? Because I don't. I seem to remember getting a fair bit of stick. No. This was before social media and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think people now start to appreciate him a bit more.
Back in the day, Chris, when you mentioned that, back in the day, I remember a lot of Millwall fans being very, very split on Ifill. Mm-hmm. Some used to love him. Some used to say, oh, he's useless. You know, he's too unfit. He's this, that, and the other. But you're right. When you look back at what he did for us and how good he was compared to other players that we've had over the years since, arguably, I think only Jed Wallace is the only player that's come up anywhere that level or above that level. And there's no one else really that's kind of touched those two, have they, really, if you think about them. We're talking about it now, aren't we? And okay, we mentioned James Henry there, but really and truly, let's be honest, Jed Wallace and Ifill are probably the only two right-sided players that we feel have made such a big impact. And we're actually talking about them now, aren't we?
Yeah, it's true. And Mickey, I'll talk on your behalf because you're on mute. So it's very true.
Jeff gets the vote. So that is goalkeeper, defence, midfield, all chosen. It's now strikers. Welcome back then. The final part, we are talking strikers, post-millennium strikers. And we're going to start with Chris.
Okay. Am I doing one or both?
We go for both.
Up to you. You can either do one. Do your two. Who would be your strikers?
Okay. So my two strikers would be Neil Harris. So just an absolute legend. I think in his first spell with the club, I don't think we've had a goal scorer like him since. He was a proper old-fashioned goal scorer and has then gone on to do tremendous things for the club. And I think his managerial reign was very successful. He left the club at the right time, which shows the... I've just seen the chat. Shows the selflessness of the man as well. So Neil Harris... for the first part, and his partner would be Richard Sadlier for me. I think Richard Sadlier, obviously, I know he had to retire, but he played over 100 games, scored, I think he had a record of 1-3. And his first two seasons, he was actually really poor, if you remember. But the two seasons he had, I thought it was absolutely fantastic. And I genuinely think if he didn't have to retire, he would have gone on to play at the very highest level and would have been one of our greatest players that we've ever produced. Genuinely, I mean that. So, there are probably other players that I considered the likes of Steve Morrison, Lee Gregory. I even considered Barry Hales because I quite like Barry Hales. Just I thought he was a bit of a character. Yeah. But I went with those two. So that's my strike force.
Yeah.
Very good.
Go on in, Joe.
Okay, the first one, bit of a no-brainer for me, Neil Bomer-Harris. I mean, the caps, the goals, his legacy, you know, he is what you call a true Mill legend, I think. So without a shadow of a doubt, he's definitely in there 100%. Who partners him is a very, very tough one. So I had about four or five different players in my head thinking about who I'm going to pick. And I'll be honest with you, I had a person in mind for it, and I was going to go for it up until about 10 seconds ago until Chris just mentioned Sadlier. And I do question myself, like, do I go this person still, or do I change it and go Sadlier? Because Sadlier was fantastic, although his career was cut quite short through injury. But I'm going to stick by my guns, and the player that I'm going to go to partner Neil Harris is, it's like the X Factor, isn't it?
Steve. We'll find out next week.
we'll find out after this advert. I'm going to go for Steve Morrison. I think Morrison, although he has played with Harris, I think they've complement each other really well. I think, again, I'm pretty sure, isn't he like the top, one of the top five top goal scorers, Morrison for Millwall?
I think he's
about eight or nine. To be
how many goals he scored
in the top 10?
I think he's got 89. For some reason, I've got 89 in my head, and that's
I'm thinking 92 in my head, but I don't know if I've read that somewhere else. Kai?
Go on, Kai, you can unmute yourself now and say it. You're still unmute
twice over.
On August 25th,
I'm the most brutal, vicious, ruthless champion that ever been.
The most anticipated original series is here. You may know Tyson.
You're the heavyweight champion of the world, young, rich, and black.
But do you know Mike?
The minute you get too big, they gotta cut you down.
Starring Trevante Rhodes.
I am Mike.
And Harvey Keitel.
They'll love you as much as they fear you.
Now I'm really gonna have some fun.
Mike, series premiere August 25th.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Only on Hulu.
Your work technology should help your organization run better. Monday.com is an intuitive platform designed to help teams of all sizes work better together and maximize results. With Monday.com, you can easily customize your workflows to fit your team's exact needs and create automated updates to keep everyone up to speed in real time. Experience the power of a single platform that replaces your costly tech toolbox and the headache that comes with it. To start your 14-day free trial, go to Monday.com.
How can you beat yourself twice?
Dreadful. 68 in the league, and I think it's 89 in all competitions.
Ah, there you go. Oh, miles closer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, you know, his goal scoring records and everything else speaks for itself. So, I don't know. I would go for Morrison and Harris up front as a duo.
Morrison is the third place all-time leading goal scorer for me.
Is he third? That high?
Yeah. Is he third? Well,
yeah.
All time, bloody hell. So, so I know we're going off tangent a little bit. So we've got Harris first, Teddy second, Morrison third. Is it Posse fourth? Is it
Posse fourth? Yeah,
Posse fourth. And then who's fifth?
It's a game from the 1920s called Jack Clock.
Mickey might remember him. I don't know who he is.
And then you've got Jimmy Constantine. So I'll give that full 10. Johnny Shepherd, Lee Gregory.
So okay.
We've been quite treated to strikers, you could say, in the post 2000s. David Jones, Jack Londos, and then Alex Reyes, joint 10th, which is impressive.
Wow.
Very good.
That's
my two.
That's weird, isn't it?
Three have come post millennial, yeah.
Three of the players I'm thinking now, apart from Harris, aren't on that list.
Really?
What's your two up front then? That's the first
one. I had three, but obviously I've got to limit it down to two. Neil Harris has to be there because he's an all-time goal scoring. And then it was Steve Claridge. And it was a choice. It was purely on goals scored between Danny Diccio. It was Claridge, Harris, or Danny
Diccio. Which two are you going to go for then?
What's the pause in for?
I knew you were going to say that, Omar.
I'm going to go Steve Claridge and, I'm going to go Steve Claridge and Neil Harris.
I'll come in with my two. It's Morrison and Gregory. Morrison and Harris for me. I was about to go Gregory there for some reason. Morrison and Harris. The other option was Gregory. But I think you can't look past Morrison and Harris. Morrison, before he left us for Norwich, I think he's like that. That Morrison is the Morrison I'm on about as well.
Yeah.
I think just unbelievable for us in the Championship that season.
And I suppose realistically, if you've got two players in the top 10 who played in the post-millennium team who have scored the most goals compared to all the others, I suppose really it's a no-brainer, isn't it?
We're in the top three.
It is. And as someone who didn't vote for Morrison, it depends on your criteria for doing it, right? So I've put Sadler in, A, as a bit of a wild card, and B, because I think he's a better player than
Or would have been. Technically, I think Sadler was very good,
But if we're talking about goals and longevity and things, then of course Morrison goes in. So
Sadler, I reckon if he weren't injured, he would have probably scored more goals anyway.
Could have done. Who knows what he could have achieved, Sadler. Mm. It's quite scary how far and how good he could have done. But are you changing your vote then, Chris? Are you swaying towards Morrison now then?
No, I'm not changing my vote, but I think that I'd be happy if it ended up being Morrison and
okay, we'll wait to the end when we're split. We'll go to you. You agree with me and Omar on that one. You'll get your vote.
Kai probably wasn't even born when Sadler retired, so I don't think he's going to pick Sadler.
I reckon it's Morrison. Well,
before I say anything, we've got to do a worst 11 at some point because Taylor Fletcher.
I've got 11 for you.
That'd be an interesting one. That'd be quite a good one. A worst 11.
I'm going to go Morrison and Harris, though.
Someone else should probably do that before us.
Oh, yeah. Edit it out quick. Morrison and Harris for me. Obviously, Harris speaks for himself. Morrison was a superb striker for us over the years. Some of the goals he scored. Remember the one Swindon goal to basically secure the playoffs? I think we beat him 3-2 that day. Mm-hmm. That goal, the one he almost chips it, but still hits it hard. He must have done that about three or four times in his Millwall career. I'm not quite sure how he does it every time, but he was so good at it. But he was just so good at... He had a bit of everything, Morrison. He was a really good all-round striker for Millwall and obviously scored plenty of goals too.
What do you think is his best goal, Morrison? There's a few, right? Against Norwich.
Yeah.
I think there's two that stick in the memory for me. One against Swindon, last day of the season. It got us a little deflection, but it was a big moment as well in the game where he scores that goal. It's like the edge of the box. It goes top corner.
Is that sort of Dink over? Or is it Mark
A little bit. Yeah. But also, there was one against Oxford on the volley. Away,
good.
Where he hits it about 35 yards out, sweet as a nut, and it just rockets into the top left corner. And I just thought that was like peak Morris in that goal. Like, even it was in his second spell as well, to be fair to him, or third spell, how many spells he had for us. But yeah, there's a common theme for a lot of these in this team. Like, Tony Craig, I put forward, he left and came back. Morrison left and came back. Like, we seem to appreciate, people that own this side appreciate Millwall, I think. I don't know, there's something to that.
It'll be quite. So, Morrison, Harris are our strikers. Managers, we've got to decide who the manager is. Is there, I know you've got to run off, Chris, is there anyone who you want to put forward for the manager to manage this post-millennium 11 before you run off?
Oh, I hadn't thought about this.
It's got to have a manager, mate.
No, I know.
Just five.
Do you come back to you in a minute, maybe?
Yeah, if you
can text us in a minute,
I'll just think about it.
Yeah, I'll have a think about it. Yeah,
I'll go.
I'm going. So I don't. Why not? Okay. I'm going for this manager who I felt, although he inherited a fairly decent team at the time, he just sort of sprinkled his sort of dust on it a little bit and just kind of made this team click and played probably some of the best football that I've seen at, down at the Den. It was a really good sort of period in
cheer
my life.
Up, Mark McGee.
There you go.
Oh, what can it be? The way he's going with that. It's...
I know, it was. Honestly, it was a fantastic sort of time. I think that, you know, that season in particular was incredible. We played with such confidence, positivity, attacking football, scoring goals. And Mark McGee was a big part of that. You hear a lot of those players. Yeah, talking
45.73% win rate.
Yeah, it's incredible. And you talk about the players talk about him back at the time, how he was and how he was as a manager, how he kind of got the best out of them. I mean, you know, Eiffel sort of jokes about how he was like, Eiffel was like his little blue-eyed boy, wasn't he? Like, he knew what buttons to press to get the best out of him as a player. And a lot of players said that about him. So for me, I would pick Mark McGee.
If we're looking for the post-millennium all-time 11, the best players, best manager has to be Mark McGee. He's got the highest win rate by far, by a good 3-4%. Has to be Mark McGee.
And scoring goals as well. I remember at the time, I think they were very, very close to getting to the record of
Mark
the
McGee
most amount of goals.
Scoring goals or the team?
No, the team was at the time. Got the most amount of goals in a season, didn't they? It was very, very close at the time. I can't remember what they ended on, but it was a ridiculous amount, wasn't it? I've just seen that Chris has shot off and he's gone for McGee or Kenny Jackett.
So that's what I think. My shout would have been Kenny Jackett. And I think it is Kenny Jackett for me. Like you said with McGee, he took a team that was still, you know, it was on its way, shall we say. With Jackett, he came in after a couple of years in League One where we were like down in the dungeons, and he had to make that team himself. And, you know, we mentioned David Ford, we mentioned Jimmy Abdu. You know, these are players that he brought in. We mentioned Steve Morrison. He also brought him in as well. And, like, that's, you know, three players in that 11 that he brought in and kind of was part of this side. And he also managed Paul Robinson. And, you know, he kind of brought the best out of Robinson, you could even argue, in his middle career. So,
a manager as well, wasn't he?
I think
he was the longest manager. 5 years, 5 months, 24 days. Over.
And if you remember when he first came in, we had, like, load of loan signings. We'd have, like, Jamie O'Hara there and all these sort of players there. Like, we'd had all sorts at the club. And he came in and within a season made a straightaway challenge at the top. And I think, you know, it failed with Spatman, it failed with Donaghy. Jackett comes in and does it. And then the year after, you know, we miss out on the playoffs, go again. And then obviously the year after, we could have got into the Championship playoffs. I think Jackett's tenure, I think McGee's is quality as well. And I agree with you about the goals and stuff. But I think Jackett, for me, built the side from scratch and then also took them up as well. So I think that's probably why I would go with Jackett.
Definitely. I love his man management as well. You hear stories about how he made Steve Morrison a better player, didn't he? Mm. I don't know how true it was. I think it's written in that guy's book. Is it Mike Calvin's book. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Where he mentioned one game, I think he called him at half time and said, so listen, you're 6'3". I think he called him a big C-U-N-T. And said, go out there and fucking give it to them a little bit.
I think it was against, and I don't remember the game roughly, it might have been MK Dons, and it was a game where he scored in the last minute at the end, but I think he had to go at him because he clatters into someone, a player, and he picks the player up afterwards.
That's right. Yeah.
And
Jackson
goes, "You play for Millwall, mate. And you play for this side. You're not gonna. You don't show the other team any remorse or anything. Like
you made Morrison a horrible player. They trying to bring that kind of nastiness out of him. But that I think was the missing ingredient with Morrison that made him the kind of better player that he became, didn't he? After that point,
definitely. And then when you think of Jackie, you think of him as like a quiet, timid man. But supposedly behind closed doors, he was completely opposite in that dressing room, which I think is, you know, an interesting insight that you probably never have got unless you do this.
I think that's another vote there for the poll as well between Kenny and McGee.
Yeah.
Best
meal.
I'm going to go Kenny Jackett as well. McGee as well. So Kenny Jackett was probably really the first Millwall manager that I was sort of fan when he was managing. I always remember us doing really, really well, and we had some good players. I like the way how passionate Kenny Jackett was as well about the side. And as you say, I think he brought the best out of the players. And you know, some of the moments in that squad were really good. I just thought that the day that he left, I remember it so clearly. He resigned, and my headmaster came up to me at the school. I was like, "Jackett's gone." I was like, "Nah, you're lying." I couldn't believe it. Like, literally the first full-time manager, really, while I've been watching Millwall.
Is your head teacher a Millwall fan or something?
No, he's Swansea. But he used to buy me. I was in like primary school at the time.
Mm. And, it was quite sudden, wasn't it, when Jackett left? Yeah, I bet there was any kind of rumours. I remember it being quite a shock, wasn't it?
Well, when he left Millwall, Jackett.
Yeah.
I think he just felt like he took as he could. And it was after Wembley as well, wasn't it? Yeah. And I think that
it was
probably
quite sudden, wasn't it? It wasn't like the writing was on the wall. No one kind of expected it. It was almost like it just sort of happened.
I mean, the rumour has that him and Harris both left for the same sort of reason, where the football started inflicting on their family life through abuse online. Through school or something. I think it was where it overstepped the mark, whether or not that's true or not, I don't know.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah. But
I think with Jackett as well, I think that season where he left, I think that's when we had Chris Wood and was in the playoffs at Christmas. Yeah. And last game of the season, we stayed up because Peterborough scored against Palace. Palace scored against Peterborough. Like, we lost at Derby, and that's the only reason we stayed up, because of a goal from Palace. Like, otherwise, we'd have gone down to League One again.
So I think at one point as well.
Sorry?
Weren't we third at one point, at some point in that season?
Yeah, like, at Christmas time, when there was rumours to be signing Wood, we were in the playoffs, and then...
Another great loan signing there, Omar.
Don't tell me that, mate, honestly. And then we got to Wembley semi-final. We had Jack Smith, Sean St. Ledger, and Jimmy Abdu as the midfield three. What was we doing there? Like, it was never going to work, was it, for midfield three? And I'll never forget Sean St. Ledger's boot getting thrown back from the crowd at Derby away last game. Anyway.
So,
who are you going for, Mickey?
Well, I agree with both of them, but it was... McGee.
If you say Mark McGee, it goes into, we have to call Chris back onto the show again.
He does say in the chat KJ Prop.
Yeah, he said KJ.
Well, he said two. KJ. He said Mark McGee, didn't he?
Above it, he says KJ Probs. So I think he would have, you know.
Did he say that?
Yeah,
he did. Yeah. But KJ Prob. And then he said, he changed it to can't argue with McGee or KJ. So yeah.
Depends what you say, Mickey.
Well, I say McGee, but I can understand. So we're just going to take. But no, I think win rate, McGee just beats it. McGee's just there. And also, cheer up, Mark McGee. Kenny. Does Kenny Jackett have a song?
No. Kenny Jackett, wasn't it?
I think it was.
So hang a minute. So we've got two votes for Mark McGee, two votes for Kenny Jackett. Can you just text... Or ring Chris quickly now and just say, you've got to pick one. You can't have both. Pick one.
I'm doing it now.
And he won't reply to us anyway whilst we're killing the airtime or anyone listening to this.
I mean, I'll tell you one what's quite surprising while we're waiting to see whether or not he comes back is if we look at the win rates you've got from the Millennium, you've obviously got Mark McGee, 45.73% over 1,000 days in charge. You've got Dennis Wise, 40.45. Steve Claridge, nothing. I don't think we had any games while he was in charge because it was July, wasn't it? Colin Lee, 21.43. David Tuttle, 18.18. McCleary, Alan McCleary and Tony Burns, 50% win rate. But they only had two games in charge and they won one.
Okay.
Nigel Spackman, 16.67%. Willie Donahue, 42.59%. Richard Shaw and Colin West, 20%. Kenny Jackett, 42.81%. Steve Lomas, 25%. Neil Harris and Scott Fitzgerald, partnership, 0%. They were only in charge for 12 days. Ian Holloway, 22.58%. That bloke's a cunt. Neil Harris, 41.63%. Adam Barrett, 33%. Again, he was only in charge of three games. And Gary Rowett currently has a win ratio of 38.81%.
Okay. To our
if
we look at that, our 11 then, and hopefully by the time we get through his 11 quickly, Chris will come back to us, won't he, with his decision.
Make a note of the 11 then. Let's start, ladies and gentlemen. Your team for Saturday is as follows. Our goalkeeper,
David Ford.
Our left back.
Who was our left back?
Murray Wallace.
Murray Wallace.
Our right back.
Muscat.
Our centre back pairing.
Robbo and Coops, I think it was.
Yeah, Robertson and Cooper. Correct.
Our central midfield.
Great pairing. Abdu.
Our left wing.
Reedy.
Our right wing.
Sir Jeff Wallace.
Yep.
Since when has he fucking been a sir? You're on our camp with not even thinking he's a legend. Oh, he's come back.
Oh, good God.
Say it to the end, Mickey. Say it to the end.
And then we've got Morrison and Neil Harris up front. Yeah. Managed by...
Can I just say, at that 11, I actually picked 9 of those correct.
I think
the only ones I got wrong, I put Waller in goal and I put Matt Namara right back. But apart from that, I guess everything correct.
Yeah, I think
that's unrealistic.
Does that make a better guru than Kai now, does it?
Well, to be fair, you would have Warner as your subkeeper.
Yeah.
You'd have Danny Mack
on the bench as well.
You'd have Danny Mack on the bench as well. Yeah. And you'd have Paul Eiffel on the bench.
Yeah. And then who'd be
on the bench? You'd have Richard Sadler on the bench.
Yeah. Not Lee Gregory.
No, definitely Richard. Sacks on the bench all day long. Would you have Gregs as well?
He's in the top 10, isn't he, Gregory, for goal scored, isn't he?
Yeah, he was, I think, 8th or 7th on the list.
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to... Oh, we got the result from Chris.
We've come out with that.
He's come through.
He's come through.
This is it. Oh. This is the end of it.
Come on, we'll just say it now. He said, I'm going to go Kenny Jackett.
Turned a team potentially destined for relegation to lead to a championship team. And who knows where we'd be without that. McGee inherited a very talented team already.
My logic is exactly the same as Chris's there. I think that's what it is. Like, yeah. I'm no doubt in what McGee done for Millwall. But I think Jackett came in at a time where it could have easily been League Two destined, like how Chris said as well. So I think the job he done, Jackett, gets underplayed a little bit, maybe sometimes. I think we all appreciate him, but I think it was...
I agree. Do you think it's because McGee sort of inherited a fairly good side, whereas Jackett had to almost kind of turn a bad side into a good side and had more work to do?
100%. Jackett had an ordinary team what he brought the best out of, as in McGee had he had an already established team where he only needed to add a bit of magic to. Yeah. But I think Jackett did wonders with the players he had and players he brought through, and we had more trips to Wembley under Jackett. We'll see where it is. So your subs in, who as the final, we're gonna have Paul Eiffel in there. We're gonna have Warner as keeper.
Yep. Matt Namara.
Or are we gonna have Ford as keeper?
Ford's our first choice keeper.
Yeah, Bart's our sub, isn't he?
Is Bart our sub? Yeah, I think Bart got two votes, didn't he?
Yeah.
So Bart will be our sub keeper.
So there's the keeper. Right. Yeah. You'll have Ifill.
Do we have Matty Lawrence on the bench? Because I think made a claim, didn't they, for Matty Lawrence? He didn't quite make it into the first 11, but we all kind of agree that he should be there. He's all in our top three. So maybe, you know, Matty Lawrence, the fact he can play centre back and right back.
So, Bart.
Yeah.
Matty Lawrence. Paul Ifill.
Ifill. Yeah. That's three. We need two more.
Are you going to have Lee Gregory or Richard Sadler?
I don't know. Personally, I love Lee Sadler, but I think Lee Gregory would be... I think he deserves a place in that team, doesn't he? For his goal scoring.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's so four. We need a midfielder. We need a centre mid. Who will we put in there? Apart from Cahill and Abdu, who else would we have in their centre mid? No one's really...
Chris said Stephen Reid, didn't he? But then I think he moved to left.
But he's in the team, though, isn't he, Kai?
He's in the team, isn't he? Yeah.
Would you go for Livermore? Sean Williams?
What about Figgy Cummings, Sean Cummings?
But he was a right back, wasn't he? We've got Lawrence.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I would say... Possibly looking at...
Oh, you put Danny Mack in there as well, didn't you?
Well, he's out now, isn't he? Because we put Matty Lawrence in.
Oh, okay.
So I'll say Livermore, Sean Williams. There's not really many other, you know, outstanding centre midfielders, is there, really? Could you put Saville in there? Would you put Saville in there, George Saville?
Actually. Maybe Trotter.
Trotter. Well, a little bit.
Had a big impact, didn't he, when he played for us?
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it?
I'd probably say Trotter, unless you were putting Saville the first time.
Yeah. Well, had he not have left Saville and continued playing with us, I mean, God knows how good he could have been.
No, exactly.
I'll probably pick George Saville.
Yeah, I'll back that then.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
For both stints.
Okay.
During the first stint.
So, come on in, Joe. You've written it down. Read us out, our team.
So, we've got Ford in goal. Muscat right back. Murray Warriors left back. Centre backs Robinson and Cooper. Across the midfield, on the right-hand side, we've got Jed Wallace. On the left-hand side, we've got Reed. We've got a midfield pairing of Tim Cahill and Jimmy Abdu. And up front, we've got a strike partnership of Morrison and Harris, with the manager being Kenny Jackett.
What a team. What a team.
That's a team.
I'm looking forward to the loan team. The loan team will be a good one next time.
So we've got a few ideas coming on doing some more of these ultimate teams. This was your post-millennium team. We are that Millwall podcast. And thanks very much for listening. You can follow us across social media. Don't forget to make sure you are following the Millwall polls, because there will be some polls coming out based on this podcast. And remember to follow us, that Millwall pod. And if you're not already following us on Instagram, make sure to follow us there. Or TikTok, where we're still a viral video going entity.
Message. Hey, girlfriend, it's Carol from Jury Duty. We never actually spoke, but I saw you ordered the same hoagie as me at lunch. What are the chances? Anywho, I heard you just got a boat. We should totally grab some hoagies and take it out for a spin.
When you get a boat, you also get new friends. Make sure Progressive's one of them and get coverage today for as little as $100 a year.
Do I want to feel the wind in my hair? Guilty as charged. Oh, seriously, let's ride on your boat.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
Picture this. You're fully immersed in your podcast because in the back of your mind, you're not trying to recall when that deadline was supposed to be or stressing to keep everyone updated on next steps. Meet Monday.com, a work management platform that makes having peace of mind easy. With Monday.com, all your work lives in one centralized place. You can automate updates to keep team members up to speed and ensure nothing falls through the cracks, even while you're enjoying your favorite podcast. To start your 14-day free trial, go to Monday.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.